Labour, under the leadership first of John Smith and then of Tony Blair, had much to move to a much more favourable position. The Treaty of Maastricht had been followed by other treaties, and as soon as Blair became Prime Minister in 1997, it became clear that the new British government, New Labour as it was called, was in fact going to be much more pro-European than its predecessors. Having said which, when it came to the common currency, the euro, Britain still felt that it wasn't right for her to join. In part, I suppose, this dates back to the time when the pound was regarded as a world reserve currency, and a lot of countries, particularly in the British Commonwealth, kept their financial reserves in sterling. I think those days are probably gone now. Most of them keep them in dollars, in gold, of course, as they always have, and maybe even in some other currencies, but not very much in sterling. On the other hand, the arguments about national sovereignty have still remained. At an emotional level, the concept of the Queen's head on our currency does actually have significant positive reverberations for many, many people. So we've said no to the common currency. At the same time, there's also, reinforcing that reluctance about Europe, still the pull of a special relationship. There's now a new president of the United States. Barack Obama has a different political background from a good many previous presidents, both Republican and Democrat. There have been some concerns in Europe, and as I say these words, there are concerns over arguments that have broken out over BP and its responsibility or whatever for what's now been happening in the Gulf of Mexico. And there's some concern that maybe Obama isn't as committed to the special relationship as some of his predecessors. On the other hand, he has himself said he is still committed, and certainly the new Conservative Prime Minister, David Cameron, has clearly enjoyed a fairly successful visit to Washington. It remains to be seen. As I've already said, the European community, now the European Union, is much larger than it was before. Britain still remains slightly ambivalent, but there's very little doubt in my mind as I speak that Europe, the European Union, is going to be an increasingly powerful factor in determining our policy and our role in the world in years to come. I think, but this can only be a surmise, that for younger people, very much used to travelling around Europe, perhaps those at university for undertaking part of their courses in European countries, will probably be rather more European-oriented than some people in the older generation. It remains to be seen, but at this stage, Britain is indeed part of the European Union, and I think that's where our future policy direction lies.